This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
To a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, I guess I should be the first one to say it. This past week in Caps hockey kind of sucked. I don't know where these boys have been, what's going on, but talking to me all about it, Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
All right. How you doing over there, Brandon?
I've been better. It's been a bad week. I watched the Caps Avalanche game while I was working overtime. And immediately got sick to my stomach, and today is the first day I've kept any sort of solid food down. So the Caps made me sick.
Oh, well, that's a little dramatic.
It's their
fault. But oddly enough, even though they're playing poorly, they're currently third in the Metro.
I mean, I want to start off.
Technically, they're tied for second. Again, they've played eight games, so it's not like you're like, well, here we come, Stanley Cup.
That's what I wanted to bring up to you. So,
also, Carolina's in first and Buffalo's in first, so I think we all just need to settle the hell down.
All right, we're eight games in. The Caps have not looked great. They haven't. Nope. I would even say they don't even look good right now. But
they look okay.
Eight games in. You kind of expect more from this team. What is going wrong right now? We have a lot of different people pointing fingers. And I think the biggest one is the fact that Braden Holtby isn't doing well. Like, do you point the finger at him? Do you point the finger at the coaching staff? What's your call here?
I don't feel like it's fair to necessarily point at Braden Holtby. I don't think he's necessarily the biggest issue. My concern is more on the coaching staff and the defense and just the way this team has been playing. And to some extent, the forwards. I think the defense hasn't necessarily settled in. I think Kempney being out hasn't helped. I don't think it should be as big of an issue as it turned out to be, but I don't think it should necessarily be, dooming them. Why does this thing say the Rangers have only played three games and the Caps have played eight? That can't be right. All right. Anyway, sorry, I got distracted by the weirdness of the standings. Anyways, I think part of the issue has definitely been the defensemen in terms of the way they've been playing. Some of them have been playing quite well. Some of them have been struggling a little bit. Holtby definitely did not. I didn't see the game against Colorado. I was out of town, but it definitely seemed like he could have been playing better.
Three shots, three goals. I mean,
but I always hate to blame I mean, I have to go back and look at him, I guess, but I hate to blame the goalie. The puck starts in the middle of the ice.
Just so you know, the New York Rangers are playing just their fourth game right now of the season.
That is so weird.
They had two games and then a week off, and then on the
they have their bye week already?
I don't know.
Anyways, so going back to the Capitals, I think they're just sort of struggling for a bit of an identity right now in terms of the way they want to play.
Good. I want them to play good.
Well, yes, good. They're playing poorly right now. That's their identity. I think the defense has struggled a bit, and I think the coaching staff is a considerable amount of an issue right now. I think they have something like one power play goal in all season at home,
yeah,
which is abysmal when you've played – how many have they played at home at the moment? When you've played – they're 1-1-2 at home. They're 3-1-0 on the road, and – they've got one power play goal in four games at home. That's embarrassing. I think that's something like 12 opportunities, 13 or 14 before they got their first home power play goal. When you have the firepower that this team has with Ovechkin and Backstrom and Oshie and Wilson to some extent, you should be able to score and Carlson. I mean, I keep going on and on. Orlov, you should be able to score power play goals at least one a game, especially when you're at home. Like maybe you go a game every once in a while, you go a game without scoring a power play goal, and that's fine. I get that. But you should not be struggling the way you are at home. And the problem is it's so obvious what they're going to do every time with that stupid slingshot where they just – it's not just they dump it in, but they like try and slam it around the boards. And it just causes more problems because teams know what they're going to do. And all you got to do is pinch yourself along the boards, intercept it, and send it back out. I'm trying to look up their power play stats right now. Right now, their goal differential is at a zero. They've scored 26 and given up 26. The team currently is 4-2-2 for 10 points. And I can't find their freaking power play stats. I'm going to go look somewhere else for that real quick. But it's, you know, right now they're just playing like a 500 team. They're not playing like a team that's really going to make a big run. This is a team that will likely make the playoffs barring some sort of craziness. But they don't appear to be a team that you really are like concerned about, I guess, playing up against. I mean, they're going to give you a hard game. You have to watch out for Ovechkin. But the power play, is it just me or does it seem like a lot of the things that they're trying to do is just them feeding the puck to Ovechkin and letting him take a shot from his office?
I mean,
like that's not going to work. You do that every single time and eventually you're going to run into a problem. Teams are just going to park themselves right in the way. So I think what they need to do is start mixing things up, move players around. You got to make teams on when the other teams are on the PK, you got to make them move around a lot because they're making it really easy for teams to just sit there and watch and force them to have to mix it up. And that's when they're like, well, what do we do now? Their power play is currently 11th in the league. No. Never mind. I'm looking at the wrong stat. Sorry. Hold on. I'm an idiot. Where's the Capitals? They're 16th in the league in their power play at 21.9%. They are on the PK. They're 84 point. Their PK seems like it's garbage. They're 8th in the league at 84.6. So it's not terrible. I don't know what the problem is. They're over, you know, 50% in faceoffs. They're just struggling right now, it seems. I don't know. I know everyone's talking about like a goaltending controversy or whatever. I don't buy it yet. The kids played two games. Like, everyone's settled down.
I mean, do you think it was the right move, though? I mean, of course, pulling Braden Holtby after three shots on goal, he allows all three.
Yeah, whether it's his fault or not, you pull him.
You have to
just pull because him. You need to give the team a shakeup.
But do you play him the next game or do you go with Samsonov up against? Because I mean, they went with Samsonov this past Wednesday against Toronto and was the first win on home ice. But if you're the coach, Coach Dan, do you put in Samsonov or do you put in Holtby? Because I mean, if Holtby's your number one guy, you don't want him to lack confidence. I mean, we've seen him struggle before and he's come out the other end and been fine. But do you give him a rest? Do you let him chill out for a second and let Samsonov kind of do his thing and get some experience? What would have been your call?
Are you talking about going up against the Rangers?
No.
On Friday?
No, last night. Would you have done what Coach Reardon did?
Yeah, I think so. I kind of wonder, when did Samsonov play before that?
He was up against the Islanders on the 4th.
He's played four games. Although I guess the other one counts. Hold on, I'm trying to see. So he played before that one. He played against Colorado. Oh, wait, no, that's the one he got pulled. He played Dallas on the 12th.
Oh, so he was the goalie that allowed only one goal that night, and it was the first win in Dallas since, I believe, 95.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's up to say because we don't really know what's going on with Holtby. Like, does he have a minor injury? Is there something going on that's distracting him? Is that why Samsonov got the nod on Wednesday against Toronto? And as we saw, the team wasn't playing great, and Toronto was able to come out to a pretty early lead. So it's tough to say. I think I would have gone back to Holtby against Toronto. But again, it's hard to say necessarily what's going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm good. If I'm reared in, I go with Holtby against the Rangers. And if he struggles again, Samsonov's going to start getting getting more starts than he was anticipating on this road trip next week.
Yeah.
Jeez, it's a long road trip.
It is a long road trip, but this is pretty standard because the horse show is in town in D.C. at the end of October every year. So they go out to Western Canada. Actually, their trip to the West.
They never get to be at home for trick-or-treating?
Never, never. But I think the trip out west to California is actually really early this year in December if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, first week in December, which they normally do that, I think, February, March. So that's kind of interesting to see. But I don't know. I'm a little bit worried right now. I kind of feel as if Reardon may have lost this team already. I don't know if he's on the hot seat. I can't imagine him already being on the hot seat. But this start for the Capitals is kind of unheard of in the Ovechkin era. I mean, I don't think that they've played this poorly in a very long time.
It's been a while, but they have had slow starts. I mean, this is the Capitals. They tend to always have slow starts, but this is a bit of an odd one. I think the biggest mistake this team made in the last couple of years, aside from not being able to retain Trotz, was, and we all knew they wanted to go with Reardon at some point, but I think the mistake they made was they took too long to get Reardon his assistants, and then they ended up with two guys that I don't think was at the top of their list. And when you have this rookie head coach, I feel like you need these more veteran assistants to be around him that can help him or guide him along. And I was talking with our buddy Ryan Drury about this. If you're getting rid of Reardon, or you're getting rid of one of the assistants, or all of the assistants or two, or whatever the case may be, who's replacing them? Like, who are you bringing in that's available right now? This is not a situation like when Anaheim got rid of Randy Carlyle and then the Caps got rid of Boudreau and Anaheim was like, score! And they were able to bring in Boudreau. There's not a head coach that I can think of at the moment that they can bring in that would be able to bring in new assistants and turn this thing around. I mean, I think they're kind of stuck with him unless they want. Is Bylsma available? Like, I don't even want Dan Bylsma, but I think he's still available. Oh, he's one of the assistant coaches of the Red Wings. So I guess, yeah, you could go and try and get an assistant coach from another team, but
mid-season though, I don't know.
Yeah, but do you want a guy?
Not even mid-season.
Do you want a guy that is potentially going to be a first year head coach, or do you try and go find someone like is Paul Maurice? Who's he with? Still with the Penguins? Oh, not Maurice. I'm thinking of the wrong dude. Who am I thinking of? Hold on.
I say you give first time coach Brooks Orpik a try.
No,
just a little too early for that.
Chuck Lemaire. Who the hell? Hold on. All right. No, I mean, I think it's too early, but I think if they don't start shaking it up, if I'm McClellan, I'm giving this a real thought in terms of wanting to make a change, because the way it is right now, it's not. The hell, their coaches. It's not. It's just. It's their power play. Like I said before, this is a team that has a lot of firepower on offense. And to have a power play that appears to be struggling as much as, maybe I'm being overdramatic because looking at the stats, it's actually not that bad. It's also kind of early in the season, so some teams are like overly good. Like you have Edmonton at 45.5% scoring on the power play. Like they're not going to keep that up.
Right.
That's insane. Holy crap, the Oilers are 6-1. When did that happen? But that's insane at 45.5%. That's going to come down. But the Caps are currently 16th in the league at 21.9%. You'd think that'd be a bit better considering you want them closer, I would guess 25% considering the firepower they have, and they're not taking advantage of it.
Yeah. I'm hoping this is just this team getting acclimated to new players. Even though a lot of these new players that have joined this team haven't really made a splash whatsoever.
Jacques Martin. Sorry. He's the guy. He's the coach I was trying to think of before. Cause he used to coach. Like, you can go get one of these guys that was a head coach. He was head coach in St. Louis and Ottawa and Florida and Montreal. Like, you can go get one of these guys. I'm sure it wasn't. Where's Tyrion's probably available? Not that I want him. But I don't feel like any of these guys are necessarily going to be able to help this team any more than they're where they're at right now. And if anything, they're just a temporary fix until you can potentially find someone in the offseason.
And I kind of think Reardon's always going to be living in the shadow of Barry Trotz. I mean, Barry Trotz brought the one and only Stanley Cup to the Washington Capitals. I mean, you can't be that surprised that everyone's going to compare him to Barry Trotz, even though he was a part of this system when they won a cup. But I think Todd Reardon has to know that. But I don't know. This defense is struggling. The power play is struggling. I mean, they're not even scoring that many goals if you really think about it. They're constantly playing catch up. I don't know. I mean, at least they were able to kind of bridge that gap in Colorado. Ended up being a 6-3 game, but they at least got a somewhat close after that disastrous first period. But, you know, one guy on offense that we were kind of talking about last week and how he's got to be good, he's the future, was Jacob Verana. And he started off the season really well, and then he kind of cooled his jets a little bit. But I believe it was it the Colorado game or the Toronto game? It was the only power play goal that they have was from Jacob Verana. So he seems to be a player who is also trying to figure himself out a little bit.
I mean, I wonder if part of that is a result of just the team overall in terms of how they're playing. I mean, right now you've got Carlson leading the team in points. He's got 14 points, 11 of those being assists.
Leading the league.
Ovechkin's no, he's not leading the league in points.
Not anymore?
I heard you say it before. It's McDavid's got 17. Then Drysdale and Edmonton. Jesus, Edmonton. And then Carlson at 14 points. So he's third, currently 2 points ahead of Crosby. He's got Ovechkin's got 8 points in 8 games. Backstrom 7-8. Oshie 6-8. Kuznetsov 6-5. Verana's got 5-8, which is not terrible. 3 goals, 2 assists in 8 games. Like, I'll take that. I think he just kind of was had a little bit of a dry spell, but then he seems like he's picking it up a bit. So we'll see how Verana does. I'm not really concerned. You know, the thing that annoys me going back to the coaching staff, I forgot to mention this before. It annoys me that when they get hit a tough spot or they get blown out in one game where they just didn't have whatever it was they need, that Reardon like completely shakes up the lines. Like the four, like that was the, like, that's the biggest issue. I don't get that part.
You don't like, so like I, that part of his coaching, just the fact.
No, if it was like 2 or 3 games in a row where they're not working, or like one full game and then you go to the next game and it's still not working, like how do you know it's not just one game where they just didn't play well? Give the Lions an opportunity. They've been playing well before. Maybe they just hit a bump in the road and you go back and check it out the next game. I hate how he's so quick to just throw the lines out, try something different, and it may or may not work. I mean, they ended up winning the next game against Toronto, and they started to play better after the blown out against Columbus. Colorado. There it is. Saying every other team name with a C. So maybe it worked in the long run, but it just, I don't know. It annoys me sometimes how quick he is to change up the lines.
Now, two other players that kind of hit a rough spot in the Toronto game was Jonas Siegenthaler and Richard Panik. They collided on the ice in the third period. Both left the game with upper body injuries. We don't know if it's a concussion or anything else, but this is the first time I've even noticed that Panik, whatever, is even on the ice. I mean, he has made zero impression to me so far this season. Like you said, only 8 games, but still, I'd want a player who's, you know, on a 4-year contract to do something within this first couple games and not just take out one of our own players. But Siegenthaler was one of the up-and-comers in the defense, but we don't know what they're doing right now, but not a good sign that both these guys are taken out of the game. Upper body injuries. No word yet, I don't believe, about anything about if they're going to travel or not. But I don't know. This seemed really out of place for this team, and you hate to see guys go down like this.
The timing is unfortunate. I'm going through. I'm not seeing anything about these guys being out necessarily, so I think we'll know more probably tomorrow, obviously, before the Rangers game. But I mean, I'm looking at the roster. Where did it go? The stats. And currently, it's just Tyler Lewington and Richard Panik that have no points. Panik's played in 8 games. He's a -1, 7 shots. And Lewington's played 5 games, but he's also a defenseman, so I don't feel like it's necessarily the end of the world. He's also got 17 penalty minutes. What's that all about? But I don't think it's necessarily the end of the world that Lewington hasn't scored. But Panik, I think they definitely expected more from, but it's only 8 games. You know, we'll see how he adjusts as the season goes on. But if it's, you know, we're getting up to 16 games and he's only got 1 or 2 points, that's a problem.
Yeah, does he make it through the whole season?
What's his cap hit? But, you know, his output is that continues to be poor, you know, depending on his cap hit, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to move him out. 2.75. That's going to be hard to move for a guy who is not producing, especially when he's 2.75 for a guy and you got him for the next 4 years. That's going to be difficult. I think he'll start to produce. Yeah. I mean, I think, well, not at the moment. Yeah. It looks that way, but it's also only been 8 games. He's only 28. So let's give it time. I'm not overly concerned at the moment.
I am. I really am. I'm panicking.
I think it's a bit dramatic. It's not there yet, but I think there's definitely room to be slightly concerned.
Yeah, well, I am. What else should we cover here in Caps World?
I think we've covered a lot of the stuff. We covered all the stuff in my notes. I mean, the team's just struggling right now. They went 2-2-1 in the last week. Like I said before, they're just playing like a 500 team. They're not playing like a team that is necessarily very exciting to watch, but then also a team that is playing together. I just haven't seen them come together in the way that we've seen in the past. And maybe this big road trip they're about to go on is going to help, because they got 5 games on this road trip.
Yeah.
Before they come home against Buffalo in November. So they still got lots of work to do.
That's a good way to bond with some new players. It really is, going on a 5-game road trip like that, going through Western Canada, buying yourself a cowboy hat.
Just stop boots. In Chicago on the way there.
Oh, yeah. Get some deep dish pizza and then, head to Calgary, go to the Hart House. I mean, there's plenty of stuff you can do.
Do you think they come home between Vancouver and Toronto?
No.
They've got 3 days off.
No, no way.
You don't think so?
No, absolutely not. You take a day off in Vancouver on the 26th. You enjoy yourself in the beautiful scenery. You got a travel day on the 27th. You get to Toronto on the 28th. You practice. Then you got a game on the 29th.
See, I almost wonder if I would do that 2 days in Vancouver, fly to Toronto on the 28th.
Any more time in Vancouver is a good time.
Yeah, it's a great city.
Yeah, it really is. All right, well, that seems kind of quick for Caps World, but... when you suck, you suck. There's no other way to
it's still early. I was having to record late.
Are you sure it's early? Because it sounds like it's pretty late to me.
It's getting a little late over here now, but it's still early in the season. I'm not panicking just yet. The biggest concern that I have right now merely is the fact that if things aren't working out with this coaching staff, I just don't see any other avenue for them to go. And who's Hershey Bears? Is it Spencer Carberry?
I don't see them.
I think they brought him in this past offseason. No, 2018. Sorry. And he's a young dude. I don't anticipate him necessarily being the guy they go with. So I don't know what they're going to do if they decide to move on from Reardon. I don't think you can promote any of these guys from the one of the assistants to be like the interim head coach, because it's not working out.
That's it for Caps World. Now we're going to go down on the farm. All right, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, give me some good news. Tell me what is going on down on the farm.
Well, in the past however long it's been, the Bears went 2-1 with wins over Lehigh Valley and Wilkes-Barre Scranton. They continue the road trip on Friday in Belleville, Saturday in Lobel. And I have no idea if I'm saying that right. Ryan, can you tell me? Am I saying it right? And next Wednesday, they'll be playing in Rochester. They don't actually come home until Saturday, the 26th.
Really?
So they probably come home before that, but they don't play at the Giant Center again until the 26th of Saturday, which is, they got a nice little road trip as well, right about the same time the Caps are on one. In other Bears news, Travis Boyd was named the CCM AHL Player of the Week. He had back-to-back 3-point games with 4 goals and 2 assists. So congratulations to him. Also, your boy, Liam O'Brien, he's getting his own bobblehead. Brandon's going to shout like $200 to get that thing.
I might have to go to that game.
It's going to be given out on March 25th to the first 5,000 fans. O'Brien edged out Mike Scarbosa to get the honor of a plastic giant-headed version of himself. What day is the 25th?
I'd have to say a Saturday. Just a hunch.
To Wednesday.
Damn it.
That's weird. Anyways, that's Wednesday. Jesus. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays started their season and have played a whopping 1 game.
Ooh.
They did win that game, though, Yay. Over Orlando. And as I was looking at the schedule earlier, I realized I was in Orlando when they were playing.
What?
I could have gone to the game.
Oh,
not
come
that
on.
With me that I was with. There's no way. I mean, I could have dragged the kid, but it's not like he has a say in the matter. He's 4.5 months old. Actually, in 4 days, he'll be 5 months. There's no way my wife would have gone. No way my brother-in-law would have gone. No way my wife's old boss and his kids would have gone. But it would have, although they were over in Tampa.
Dude.
But it would have been, that's a weird thing. So he, anyways, I was sort of in Tampa Bay Lightning country. Ugh. Anyways, the Stingrays will have three games again before we talk, starting on Friday in Atlanta. Saturday is their home opener at the North Charleston Coliseum against Orlando. And then they play again on Wednesday in Norfolk, where they will play three in a row. Which is the ECHL being weird in their schedules.
Yeah, you really just bummed me out.
That's what's going on down on the farm.
You really just bummed me out.
What, that I was down there and watched?
Yeah, you could have gone to a South Carolina Stingrays game and you didn't go.
No, I would have gone to an Orlando Solar Bears game or whatever their freaking team name is.
Man, that's what you, when you go to a town, you look at local sporting events, comedy, wrestling, you figure out what's going on and you go. Oh,
you know, I was in Orlando. I went to Disney World.
I mean, tourists, sure. You can have done that. That would have been great, man. I do want to talk about Travis Boyd, though, being named the CCM Player of the Week. Four goals or 6 points or something like that?
Four goals, two assists.
All right, there you go. It has to impress the people in Washington, and if something were to happen with somebody going down, they'd have to want to bring him back up after a performance like that, right? Or is it like, well, it was the AHL, that's where he's going to thrive?
I think he's their guy they're going to call up if they need to pull someone. But I'd not... Like, I don't, they have a couple, you know, you got one of the guys on the fourth line that's always kind of sitting there. So I'm not, I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon.
All right. Well, you know, go up to the Hershey Bears, see Travis Boyd, congratulate him. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Coach Dan's going to catch you all up. Coach, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, it's early in the season. Typically early in the season, there's not a lot going on. But let's start with some suspension news because that's fun. Vegas forward Valentin Zykov was suspended for 20 games for violating the NHL/NHLPA performance-enhancing substances program. He knowingly took something. And his butt's going to be sitting out. I think his first game back is like the end of November. So he's going to be going ahead and having a nice long break. Last bit of news is that San Jose signed forward Patrick Marleau to a one-year deal. Marleau spent the first 19 years of his 22-year career in San Jose before heading off to Toronto. Toronto, I think in the offseason, traded him to Carolina, who then bought him out or cut him or whatever because he didn't want to play there, is my understanding. So he's back in San Jose for what I have to imagine is his last season. But yeah, that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
All right, I got to ask. This suspension happened with the Vegas Golden Knights. We don't know what or why or whatever. But there's got to be some sort of talk of this guy getting, 20 games and Cousy getting 4 for coke. I mean, is anybody bringing that up?
Well, maybe he did something worse than coke. But no, this whole thing, Kuznetsov should have gotten more. I think we already talked about this.
Yeah.
But it's stupid.
I can't believe like there's no message boards or Twitter or whatever going, he got 20 games. The guy on the Capitals did cocaine, tested positive for that. He only got 4. I'm shocked no one is bringing that up. I mean, it's good for us.
It's a little ridiculous.
All right, well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff, as well as stuff about Arsenal Football Club, occasionally the Buffalo Bills, how disgruntled I am with the Skins and how embarrassing they are as a franchise, and just how bad of a person Daniel Snyder is, and all sorts of other things. That's on Twitter, at Twitter, on Twitter, right? WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed our show and our rambling, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you can find out when new shows are coming, as well as all sorts of stuff related to the Washington Capitals and other funny things that Brandon finds and puts on there that make him giggle.
Yeah.
That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But hey, Brandon, if people have enjoyed this show, where can they check out other things that you may be working on?
You can go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do. If you're a Ravens fan, you can check out The Call. That's my Ravens podcast. Check it out wherever you listen to this podcast. We're on both services. So, Coach, are you covering the Nats at all on your Twitter feed? You excited about the Nats?
A little bit. Yeah, I'm excited. Don't get me wrong. I don't follow baseball as much as I used to. I follow more just not from afar, but like online and stuff, as opposed to watching games. It's harder for me to just kind of sit down and watch a game now because I have a tiny human to worry about. But I have been keeping up with it. And you know, it's exciting. There's another team in DC, that's doing well. I think I was talking on Twitter with Brandon Alter recently, who was, said, "Oh, there's an opportunity for a fourth championship." And I was like, "What?" Cause the Mystics just won the WNBA championship. Caps won. I forgot about the Washington Valor. And I was like, "Yeah, I guess," but they went like 2-12 in the regular season, but there's like four teams in the Arena League. So they happen to be the one that won it that year. And I was like, that's just like, sure, I guess it counts, but not really.
I don't know. You could get an XFL championship as well with the DC Defenders. Their season starts in February. I know you're a season ticket holder.
DC Defenders! I'm not going to care about that.
Like most people, they're not going to care.
Nope,
they,
nope, nope, nope.
They had their draft, and that happened.
Correct.
All right. So we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download
nope,
for free.
Don't care.
On Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone. So I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So until we talk again, we got a couple games. Hopefully these Caps will be able to get back on track, win a couple of these. They're at home on the 18th up against the New York Rangers. That game is at 7 o'clock on the NHL Network, locally on NBC Sports Washington. On Sunday the 20th, the Capitals go to Chicago up against the Blackhawks. 7 o'clock start, NHL Network and NBC Sports Washington. And then on Tuesday the 22nd, the Caps in Calgary up against the Flames. 9 p.m. Eastern start. Coach Dan's going to be up for that one. That game is on NBC Sports Washington locally here. All right, Coach, three games.
Nope.
Who do the Caps come home with 3-0, 0-3, 2-1? What do you think?
John, the whole road trip or just those games?
I'm just saying those three games. Rangers, Blackhawks, Flames.
I'll go 2-1.
2-1? That's acceptable to you?
I think they lose to the Rangers and beat Chicago and Calgary.
Really? Lose to the Rangers, huh?
I'll take 2-1.
All right, everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.